This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Brotherhood. Welcome. A little story to tell you about the end of times, which is what we heard about in the gospel today. So when I was 23... I thought I was going to experience the end of times at age 23. I was living on Military Trail at St. Vincent de Paul. I was a seminarian, Roman Catholic seminarian. I think I was just out of first year theology, or we were just about to be. It was like May, and a couple of my friends came up and said, "Would you like to go on a road trip with us to San Francisco?" And I said, yes, I would. Never been on a road trip that far. I said, but what do I need to do? Like, how long are we going to be gone? They said, 30 days probably. How much money should I bring? Bring $300. Remember, $300 would get you somewhere, 30 days. And Gary, who is the driver, said, the good news is I have a gas card. Actually, it's my father's gas card. And we can use that, and that'll save us money on gas. So I said, okay. And they suggested I get traveler's checks. Does anybody remember what travel? Yeah, okay. We got sort of a few gray hairs in here. Right. So for those that don't know, before there were credit cards, and there were no credit cards in 87, I think this was. There were gas cards, but there were no credit cards. So they said, go get traveler's checks. So you go to the bank, you take your $300 or whatever, you hand it in, they give you $15, $20 traveler's checks. And then the secret is what? You take this other little piece of paper, it has those 15 numbers on it. You put that in your wallet for safekeeping just in case you lose or you get robbed of your checks, right? So here comes June. My friend had a Monte Carlo, which is a nice car back then. I had an old Chevy. He's probably 30 years old at that point. He's in this beautiful new Monte Carlo. We get in the car and we just start going. And along the way, we see people. We see I got to see a cousin of mine in Denver. I'd never been there. Gary had friends along the way. Bob had some friends along the way. We did what college students do, crashed at places for free and all that type of thing. And it was kind of fun. We had a lot of driving, 500 miles a day, whatever. And we finally get to our final stop is Reno, Nevada. As you may know, Reno, Nevada is called the Little Las Vegas, right? What I remember about Reno, Nevada, it was very sketchy. And I came from Riviera Beach, which is now very sketchy, but so it was. At age 23, I knew what sketchy was, but I didn't know it was that bad. So anyhow, we typically would, you know, drive 10 hours or whatever it was. You had to go 55 back then. And we get there, and we would eat, and then we basically would just kind of go to bed and then get up for the next day and move on. So anyhow, we got up, you know, we ate, bed, got up next day, get in the car. Now we're excited because it's one more day, and we'll be in San Francisco, our goal, right? So we roll into San Francisco. We get to our hotel, we go in the hotel. I remember the room was a little lopsided. We're kind of looking at like, earthquakes, right? So we stayed in a really high-end place, obviously. And then we just couldn't wait. We threw our bags on the beds and we ran down to the trolley. The trolley took us down to Fisherman's Wharf and the fun began, right? Finally in San Francisco, felt so good after a week of driving and all that stuff. So that evening we get back, going to my suitcase, the old hard suitcases and had like a little pocket in the back, and I reached in for my traveler's checks because I'd used a couple, but there were more there and I needed more money to go to a bank to get, you know, another 20 bucks or 40 bucks or whatever it was. They weren't there. So I'm freaking out, and my friends are saying, what's going on? I can't find my, have you seen my traveler's checks? All this stuff. And they're like, no, and I have the magic secret thing. So I looked up, I can go get more, right? So I looked up and found out, go to the Trans Am building, the one the pyramid shape, everybody knows it, right? Classic building. I'll get up and go there tomorrow, and I'll go and get new traveler's checks. Crisis averted. Go to bed, etc. Get up leisurely that day, have some breakfast, get on the buses, work my way, and just walk to that 40-story pyramid. Couldn't miss it, right? Just kept walking, and I'm going up the steps, and I see this guy, this massive man, big hair, bushy beard. He's like got a hair suit on. Looks like John the Baptist in my mind. And I'm like, it's San Francisco, 1978. So we saw a few bizarre things already, okay? But he had a sign. It says, the world will end at noon. I look at my watch. It's 11:15. I hesitate. If I'm going to die in 45 minutes, I should do something fun or party or something. And then I go, no, I don't have any money. I have no choice. So I went in, went up, took me an hour, got my traveler's checks, very happy, walked out, looked for John the Baptist, and guess what? He wasn't there. And life continued, obviously. So today we hear the story in the gospel, these cosmic proportions, apocalyptic, end of times gospel. And we know that comes up now and then, year 2000, that type of thing came up, and we heard all the crazy stories of people selling everything they owned and traveling to California, imagine that, and, you know, and going to their leader's house, and of course, you know, the guy didn't answer the gate because at, you know, 1 minute past midnight, no, there is no end of times at the year 2000. It was just a number, right? So we hear also the disciples kind of jump into this drama of end of times. It gets some people crazy. Once a year, someone comes up to me, what do you think of the end of times? Because this is happening, this sign and that sign of the devil and Nostradamus and all those type of things. And I go, do you want to hear my story? And then, you know, whatever. We know that Jesus says what? Keep awake, keep alert. In other words, yes, realize that these are the type of stories and drama that come to every age. There's always something going on that looks like it's the end of the world. But it's not, you know. And our real goal is to keep doing what we're called to do, right? And to keep aware, but also keep calm, right? So we kind of know that. Most of us spun the earth a few decades at least. So, and Jesus just tells them, stay awake, keep alert, etc. Now, as we know, Christmas is approaching, right? And here we are in Advent, and it's exciting. Right, we lit the candle today. It's the candle of hope. The first Sunday of Advent is hope, but we are now engrossed in things like ECW bazaars, and it's starting to ramp up. Right, we got to get our gifts. I don't know where you are with that. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to go to the ECW and start right there, and then you know. And then there's family dinners, there's people coming into town, maybe we're going out of town, that type of thing that kind of gets us geared up for Christmas parties and celebrating Christmas with our families, etc. And it creates a lot of anticipation, a lot of urgency. So we're called to do what? Keep awake, keep alert, stay on our toes. And we know that our plans don't always go as we want them to, right? God makes plans, or we make plans, God laughs, right? We know we have to adapt, we have to adjust. I think that's what Jesus is saying to us today. The more important story for Advent, for us here at St. Joseph, really is, it reminds us that our ancestors were once looking for a Savior, as we hear in Isaiah. We hear this great longing for centuries, really millennia, of calling for the Savior. And now we're kind of at a different end of time where we're also anticipating the Lord, right, in our hearts. We're still called to do the same thing, stay awake, have hope, those type of things. But we do ask ourselves, how long? How long will people in our own country be divided and feel fear in their own communities? How long do we have to read bad news every day about wars or just wars within our own country? How long do we have to endure even just divisions in our families, which is something we got to deal with at Christmas parties and family get-togethers? How long do we have to endure the violence, the hunger and the pain, even at our own doorstep? So at our lowest points, we're all tempted to sometimes just shut the door and not go outside, turn off the frickin' TV that always gives us bad news, except maybe that last happy story to suck you back in for the next night, you know, and just become like a turtle in a shell. We all have had those feelings. I'm not going to watch the news anymore, that type of thing. The key to all this really is we got to know who we're not and who we are. We're not people. People aren't, you know, no man is an island type of thing. We're not alone. We're not isolated. Who we are right here is St. Joseph's. And I felt the welcome, so I know, I hope that you feel the welcome every time you walk in here, that you have friends. We have a former senior warden here who says, I feel home being back at St. Joseph's. That says a lot to me, because senior wardens see all the underbelly of things that go on in any organization, including churches. So when the former senior warden says, I feel at home, I know why, because I feel at home here too. So importantly, we are a community of Christians at St. Joseph's who come to this table every Sunday, or every Sunday that you come. The table is the table of hope. We drink the wine of love. We eat the bread of hope every week. And I hope you have some awe experience in your life. Some, we call it awesome, but some awe in your life when you come here, when you see people, when you talk to people, when you maybe complain about something. What got me into the Episcopal Church is I went to St. Mark's up in Gardens. My daughter got me in through the youth group. I think I told you that, but I would go. I loved going to just coffee hour. In fact, for a while, the confession is, I didn't go to church. I just went to coffee hour because there was someone there that kind of just I could talk to and I needed to. So I was just working as a lawyer in my own office and, you know, I just need to get out and talk to another guy. So that's why I appreciate brotherhoods. You can talk to other men. It's very important. So you're everything that you do is extremely important, just being community. I know that you study and you pray and you get together and you do service. That's extremely important. But just that community really helps each man, right? So continue. And then we do come together for that hope and the love that we come together as a church every Sunday, whether it's this service or another one. Anyhow, if you've lost that hope, and I did, I had lost that hope those years between quitting being a Roman Catholic and then coming to the Episcopal Church. I just got real hardened, right? You know, just in the grind of doing the work, taking care of the family. Those are very important things, but just was hardened. And it was just those little gospel stories at the youth group that I got involved with because of my daughter that opened up my heart, kind of broke my heart open. So if you're ever in that spot, remember, just like the American Express, those little secret numbers, there's this little kind of pilot light. I always say it's right here at my heart. I don't know where it is for you. It's like a little, the pilot light was that much of, my faith was like barely there. You could have gone like this and it would have blown it out. Somehow that opened me back up. And at some point I just sat and said, like, God, come into my life. Holy Spirit, open me up. Holy Spirit, awaken in me this fire we talk about. And then joining with people in a community is what kind of lit it. The Holy Spirit had that little teeny violet light that just became much bigger when I met with other folks like you all. So once awakened, then we have to choose every day. We're like AA, you got to choose every day to live in that hope, to live in a life that's motivated by hope and love rather than despair and fear. You got to choose it every single day, hope and love rather than despair and fear. And ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to work within you, to open you up. Simple prayer. Holy Spirit, open me to the things I should be doing, to the joy that I can be seen to get, to that awe, right? That awe that we've all experienced, and the awe, hopefully, that you experience coming here week after week. And then the good news is remember that those around you are affected by that change in you. Don't discount that. People will see in you something and they'll want to come and talk to you. And that's how I got with a friend of mine up at St. Mark's. I could see that he had changed. Much longer story, another day, another sermon. So I'll stop talking, but let us pray a moment. And I want to focus on what will be one of our communion hymn today. So I was searching for words. So let's pray with me as I just read some of these words. Open wide your heavens, let your name be known, so that the world will know then that we are not alone. You who once did awesome deeds, show your presence here. Open wide your heavens, Lord, let us know you're near. Amen.
Amen.